Welcome to the Sports Bros Podcast, featuring the almighty B-Live, the money man Scotty D, and your host, the head of creative Eddie Cool. The Sports Bros Podcast, by the fan, for the fan, talking sports just the way you like it. And without any further ado, let's give it up for the Sports Bros. I hope you paid your taxes on time, but if you didn't, I hope you at least filed an extension. I swear, sometimes I just don't understand this American tax system. But anyways, this is not a podcast about taxes. This is a podcast about sports, and it's your favorite sports podcast, none other than the Sports Bros Podcast. Usually there's three of us, but B-Lab, this might be the Sports Bros edition of Nightcap, if you will, with Unk and Ocho. I guess I'll be Unk and you'll be Ocho, but who knows, man? That role might alternate throughout the episode. You know what I'm saying? With that being said, I'm your host, Eddie Cool, H-O-C, the head of creative here at the Sports Bros Podcast. Thank you for listening, rating, reviewing, subscribing, all that. Just keep on doing what you do and we'll keep doing what we're doing. Well, this intro is going to be short. Introducing the man down there at the Share Studios in Fayetteville, North Carolina. He is the one, the only, the almighty B-Live.
What's happening? What's going on today? You know what? This past weekend, has been somewhat of a lull because, you know, there's not much that goes on, especially because when you're outside of football season, you got hockey, you got basketball, but when it really just comes to the sports world, we come grasping at straws sometimes, but this weekend absolutely delivered because the final games of the NBA, a regular season, we had a tradition unlike any other. The Masters. It just the nostalgia behind it. Beautiful weather. It ended up beautiful. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. And one of these days, I'm gonna make it to Augusta. It's on my bucket list. I'm gonna make it to Augusta. And then we had UFC 300 and all of the theatrics behind that. Man, there's just a lot to talk about, and I love those type of episodes, because when we start making up stuff, you know, those are our longest episodes when we're up just making up stuff.
Ain't much going on because we're trying to find, you know, filler spots. Just trying to, okay, is this, can we talk about this? Can we talk about that?
We do have the gift of gab.
Yeah. Next thing you know, it's 3 o'clock Monday morning and I'm editing a 2 hour podcast. The podcast about nothing. Yep, that's this week's title of the podcast. A podcast about nothing. It's about sports, but it's a little play on Seinfeld, if you know what I mean. Well, B-Live, enough of us lallygagging and gallylagging and running our mouths. Scotty D, he's not here right now. The money man is a bit under the weather. We didn't get rid of him. He didn't get sick of us. He's a bit under the weather. With that being said, money man, get well soon. We'll hold it down in honor of you this week. I'm going to miss you taking your jabs at B-Live and everything. But he not gonna miss it. I'm gonna miss it. So I'll be, you know, it is what it is. Get well soon, money man. Let's go ahead and hop right into it. The top.
All right, let's get this thing started. Here it is, the top of the order.
B-Live, the guy that we didn't pick last week, wound up winning the Masters. Scottie Scheffler wins the Masters. No one's really surprised about that.
It's the craziest part about it is that we spent so much time trying to, like, pick something harder. Pick someone a little bit that had less of a chance because Scottie Scheffler has been on the tear and he showed it off this past weekend. And for those that are listening, if you didn't hear us last week, we was like, the easy answer would be Scottie Scheffler. And he showed us why he was the easy answer. He comes out the gate with a first round 66, and he immediately established that he was going to be the man to chase down. Bryson DeChambeau started out with a first round lead of 65, which is red hot at the Masters, but he could not maintain. And then it was a masterclass of what Scottie Scheffler's been doing on a tour. And now he got another green jacket. This is his second green jacket, and he did it in convincing fashion. He had first place with a minus 11 under par score. Person next to him, closest to him, Ludvig Ahlberg. And I want to say that just to pick on Scotty D, because he doesn't know what that little circle is above the A and how it changes the pronunciation. But Ludvig Ahlberg was finished at 7 under. And then you had a tie for third at minus 4 with Tommy Fleetwood, Max Homa, and Colin Morikawa. First things first, one hole cost Morikawa $300,000.
God,
I'm telling you, I watched it, and his first shot at 18 was he just yanked it. It was just all the way, all in the trees and everything. And I said, he gonna mess around, because he had third place on lock. Third place would have gotten him $1.3 million. And I was like, he about to mess around and lose third place. And he fought it out to end up getting a bogey, but he was very close to almost having a double bogey, which would have cost him $500,000 going from third to fifth, but he ended up tied for fourth. And that's the difference in prize money. Every stroke counts. That's the beautiful thing about golf. It's not just something where you can miss one over here and it all is going to be all right. Every stroke matters. And I was watching, because there was also at hole 9, because Morikawa and Scheffler were paired together. They were the final pairing. Mm-hmm. And it was a 3-stroke swing, because Morikawa ended up in the mess again. Mm-hmm. Scheffler birdied 9. Morikawa double bogeyed 9. Mm-hmm. And that was the separation. That was where the separation began. Then you had Max Homa try to trace him down. He ends up double bogeying a hole. Ahlberg double bogeyed a hole. Tommy Fleetwood, I want to say he started the day like tied for 10th or something like that. And he worked his way through. He said, I'm coming for the money.
Yeah.
And so he put in some work, fourth round 69. But yeah, at the end of the day, as much as I talk about this, that, and the third, and all these other people, Bryson DeChambeau representing LIV. I think Cameron Smith also is in the LIV League, and they ended up 2 under for the tournament. Xander Schauffele, my pick, ended up at 1 under after it's all said and done. So he ain't do too bad. At first day, I was a little concerned. I had concerns.
Some concerns, because what you say, he's like 9 players. 89. Yeah.
But yeah, that was round 2, I believe I was talking about. Mm. Round 2, that there was 89 golfers, and yeah, only 9 of them finished under par. So there was a big difference between round 1 and round 2. Hole placement, I believe it rained before round 1. I think they delayed a little bit. Mm. And so that may have, like, that with the rain made the greens just a little bit not as fast and everything like that. Round 2, everything sort of like evened out, dried out a little bit. And so that definitely changes the style of play, hole placement, stuff like that. So you saw a big difference. But at the end of the day, as much filler words as I try to put in, as much as I try to feature all these other golfers and all their great performances, everything like that, it's Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah.
It's just undeniable, unquestionable. Scottie Scheffler just came in roughshod and took that green jacket. 2 out of the past 3 green jackets Scottie Scheffler owns. And poor old Rory McIlroy still ain't got his first.
Scottie D, he keeps rooting for him, and we keep rooting for him too, because we want to see him get one, Tony Finau get one, and several others get one. But man, it's look, that feels competitive and it's tight like spandex out there. But another moment be live, how about Neil Shipley, the Ohio State graduate student, winds up shooting a 73 at the Masters. And guess who he was paired with?
The one, the only.
Tiger Woods. You got to imagine, okay, I'm here. I'm a grad student. I graduated. I mean, I made the cut to the freaking Masters, and I get paired up with the greatest of all time, yeah. Tiger Woods. Like, man, what? You know what I mean? I mean, what was going through his mind, man? That's nuts. That's crazy, man. It's just, he's 23 years old.
I want to say Tiger, what, 46, 47?
Yeah.
And let me do this while we have this moment right here. I want to apologize because, you know, I get slick with the tongue from time to time. Mm. And I made a joke last week about it because you picked Tiger Woods, and I laughed. And I was like, hey, if he actually finishes the tournament, that was tongue in cheek, because I mean, I know he's gone through a lot and with the surgeries and recovery and everything like that. And we all, every single one of us is that little kid again back in, what was it, 97 when he first appeared and and became the legend that he is today. We wish, we hope, we pray. And it just hurts to see our childhood hero just, and it's like, he is still great. Mm. But the man, that plus 10 on round three, and then for him to finish at, I think it was plus 18, he finished dead last out of the people that made the cut. Mm. Plus 16. And it just hurt. And I thought about it, I was like, dang. All I had was jokes about if he would actually finish and all this. And then, because he tried.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's one of those things where is his body trying to tell him, this is it.
Like,
God, I made jokes. And then I saw it at the round. I'm like, oh, don't do that, Tiger. I was actually rooting for you. Because he finished round two at plus one. I was like, okay, he'd be up there to compete a little bit. This and then the bottom fell out. And 10 over par round three, 5 over par round four. And I was like,
I think when it comes to Tiger Woods, it's a preparation issue, because I think sometimes some players, what's the earliest they get to the Masters? I know they get there pretty early.
Usually they'll get there the Monday prior. Mm. I think he showed up on Monday. Then you have all of the pomp and circumstances that comes with the Masters, the Wednesday part three and all the other things. But I just think it's an endurance factor. Mm-hmm. I'm not in the best of shape, but even for my little piece of sport that I do every Monday, I go bowling. I try my best not to do any physical activity on Monday or even Sunday because I don't want to end up being sore on the lanes the next day. So after two rounds of golf, the muscles start tightening up, tensing up, and it's sometimes it's just tough to endure. And I think really that is what Tiger Woods goes through. And man, maybe Tiger Woods should go to the LIV Tour where they only do 54 holes. Even though John Rahm is petitioning them to go to a traditional 72, most likely because of your more competitive majors. Mm. If you're only shooting three rounds of golf and then bam, you come to these big money tournaments, you may be out of touch for the last hole. Bryson DeChambeau showed that a little bit where he started out hot but couldn't finish. And he's done that a lot, actually. And so, I don't know.
It'll be one of those things where I guess we shall wait and see. Be live as the Masters ends, the regular season of the NBA ends as well, too. And we got playoffs. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, our first play-in game is tonight is going to be Tuesday. Matter of fact, the day you hear this podcast will be the day of the first rounds of the playing games. So be live looking at the playoff pairings. What's the most intriguing first round matchup that stands out to you?
This one was relatively easy for me because I mean, there's so many intriguing games. And of course, with the play-in, you don't know exactly who the number one and the number two seeds are going to face until after those games are done. But I'm looking easily at the 4-5 matchup in the Western Conference. The LA Clippers and that the veterans, your Kawhi Leonard, your PG is a playoff P, PG-13?
Yeah, playoff P, yeah.
Is it going to be playoff P or is it going to be playoff P? Like, the Clippers can be dangerous, but they're dealing with one of the hottest teams coming into the playoffs right now with the Dallas Mavericks. Mm-hmm. And Kyrie Irving and Luka. Luka easily has I believe he won the scoring title too. Luka won the scoring title, and there's discussions about him being up there in the MVP race. So I think 4-5 could very much determine who's going to win in the Western Conference because the Western Conference is stacked.
It is. You are right, B-Lab. It is loaded. And that was also my matchup to watch out to the Clippers and the Mavericks. And I'm like, okay, the Mavericks, they've been trending. The Clippers have just been good. I mean, both teams, they have several guys that average in double figures from a points standpoint. So it'll be real interesting to see like how this turns out. I mean, B-Lab, I don't know about you, but I think this goes seven.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I believe that. I'm looking in just some of the other matchups that are there. Like the Lakers squeaked out to an 8 seed. So the much anticipated Lakers Warriors play in one win or go home. We will see. I see so much old school versus new school matchups. Got the Sacramento, the Kings going against the Warriors, 9-10. Right there, and what separates Sacramento and San Francisco? A couple of hours at best,
I think. Yeah,
they're really close to proximity. So that game right there determines the state of Northern California right there, and you got your Young Bucks. And the reason why I want to feature Sacramento Kings is because somebody that gets no love, and I'm talking about them in just a minute. You got your Steph Curry. Just got the whole team on his back because Klay Thompson can't hit the broadside of a barn. Draymond Green choking people. He's going to be level-headed for this one playoff game. Or the up-and-coming in, I've been talking about Sacramento for a couple of years now, and they're in the 9 seed, but one person that gets no love. And I'm going to tell you the stat line before I tell you the person. 19.4 points a game. 13.7 rebounds a game, 8.2 assists per game. Like, that easily is one of the better stat lines in the NBA. First in rebounds, 6 and 6 assists, shooting 60% from the field, mind you. Like, this dude has been quietly, because nobody talks about him, but I'm going to talk about him. Domantas Sabonis for the Sacramento Kings. The dude is been nasty with it. Mm. 27 years old, and dude, he could very well be that problem because who's going to match up against him? Because we already know that Golden State is a small team. They play small ball. Like, I mean, is it Kuminga that would match up with him? Or I don't. That is the intrigue with that 9-10 matchup. And here's the thing about that 9-10 matchup. Both of those teams are 10 games over 500.
And playing a play-in game, right?
Yeah. Playing a play-in game while you got the Atlanta Hawks on the other side, which they are 10 games below 500. Damn. Playing a play-in game. the difference between, but yeah, it's just a two, the Eastern Conference shouldn't have a play-in tournament. It should be one through eight, because Chicago and Atlanta deserve to be there. But it's the intrigue. It's what Adam Silver put together, and we're going to be watching.
Yep, we're going to be watching, man. In case people don't know, Domantas Sabonis is the son of the legendary Arvydas Sabonis. I watched a video a few days ago, and I forgot who was talking about Arvydas Sabonis. They said, we got the back-end career of Arvydas Sabonis. Somebody said, what's the closest comparison of a player today to Arvydas Sabonis at his prime? And they, I think if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong, they said Joel Embiid. Mm. To be a big man and to be able to run, to be able to shoot, have great court vision. I remember I fell in love watching Arvydas Sabonis' game when he was 7'3", and this one dude said Sabonis had the world's biggest head. He had the world's biggest head. I mean, he was when you look at him on TV, okay, this man was big, but to see him like 7'3" and look at some videos, I'm like, damn, this joker was huge. And the fact that, like, for me, one of my biggest favorite things about Arvydas Sabonis was his court vision. You see open pass, he be doing all that. I'm like, wait a minute, Spies like, man, he out there looking like Magic Johnson. I was like, man, I would have loved to see Sabonis in his international prime, man. But I'm like, you be live. That matchup with the Clippers and the Mavericks, we finally got a healthy Kyrie. All distractions are out of the way. Finally, Luka has some help. He's always wanted, so we're gonna see what we're gonna do. But then again, man, you can't count the Clippers out. The people aren't really talking about the Clippers like that, man. But the Clippers are really making noise. I think Kawhi Leonard played a good chunk of games this year. Russell and the biggest thing about James Harden and Russell Westbrook and all this happening in LA, who the hell gonna touch the ball?
Well, and that's the thing about the Clippers is that they finally found a way to mesh. Westbrook took that step back and was like, "I'm gonna take a step back. I'm gonna come off the bench. I'm gonna lead the second group." Mm-hmm. And it's been magical times, and it's gonna be tough to handle the depth that the Clippers have. Now, at the end of the day, they still wear the crown. They are the reigning, undisputed national champions when it comes to the Denver Nuggets. They are the number two seed by way of the tiebreaker going to the OKC Thunder.
Wow.
And between OKC, Denver, and Minnesota, but this is where the thick of the thing is coming to. Regular season is nice. It gets your seed. Now it's who is going to tighten up them bootstraps.
Yep, time to tighten them up.
Who's going to grind it out? Because the NBA playoffs is the epitome of a grind out. Who can outlast? Who is deeper? Who is going to be more about defense now? The schemes have changed. So we shall see who's going to – is somebody going to dethrone Denver? Do you think anybody's going to dethrone Denver?
I don't know, man, because Denver, from a matchup standpoint, they pose a lot of problems. Just when you think you can shoot Joker down, and sometimes Joker just seems to be unstoppable, like the damn juggernaut, then you got to worry about Jamal Murray. And then Michael Porter Jr. can mess around and have a hot game. And then Aaron Gordon can start jumping out the gym. So it's just kind of like, all right, so you got to, when it comes to the Nuggets, you have to pick your poison, because they can beat you. They're that damn sound. They can beat you in any way. And it's the classic case of a team that's been there before and they know what it takes to get there. That experience can get them back to the finals, but I can see throughout the tournament, out the playoffs, that they're probably going to be pushed to, you know, game sixes, maybe a game seven or two. But I think the Nuggets will come out of the West. last. I think they will. It's just I think it's that experience factor.
Yeah,
that they hold over a lot of teams. A lot of teams they've been consistent throughout the season. That's the thing about it. They may have lost a game here, a few games here, a few games there. But other than that, they've been straight on and they've been about their business.
Yeah, I'm curious to see this out of some of the younger talent. I want to see in the playoffs if Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Chet Holmgren, to see what they do in the playoffs. I want to see what Ant Edwards does in Minnesota in the playoffs, because they've had lights. They play lights out in the regular season. Mm. And I want to see the younger players. I want to see if they emerge and stand tall. I want to see Luka. Let's see what he does in the playoffs. But hey, we're going to see it very quickly. We're going to have a lot to talk about after this week. I'm excited. It's the playoffs where it means some things. Made it 82 games through and through. Let's see what it do. Yes, sir.
All right, to close out the NBA. Now we're going to UFC 300 this weekend, and one of the most, some say the most epic knockout in the history of the Ultimate Fighting Championship, where Max Holloway gets a buzzer beater, if you will, knockout over Justin Gaethje to win the BMF title. Just imagine fighting those rounds. And then it got to the point to where Holloway said, no. Let's come to the middle of the ring and let's duke it out. And I was like, oh, they fight for real. And they start throwing haymakers. And then Holloway messed around and connected with Gaethje's jaw. I think it was that right. And then down goes Gaethje. Wow, B-Live. Just damn wow.
It was one of those things where, unfortunately, with the way life works and everything, I'd hardly ever get to see full UFC matchups. I was sort of disappointed because last Stylebender, Israel Adesanya, was supposed to be headlining this. Mm. But I don't think anybody could have done this. Anybody else could have done this justice. This was a fight of all fights. And, man, easily one of the greatest knockouts in all of UFC, the history of the UFC. And it was one of those things, like you said, Max Holloway was like, no, we about to finish this right here, right now, 10 seconds left, and just old school, to take all the mixed martial art, yeah, our art out of it, and we just gonna slug it out.
Be like, let them scram. That's what happened. Let them scrap for 10 seconds.
When it happened, the entire internet blew up, and it was just one of those things. Like, did that really just happen? And then I'm looking, because I'm tracking my Twitter, because I want to see what's going on. And then you know it's something when everything's in all caps, and every single tweet, every single post, all caps. I'm like, yo, and then I saw it. And I'm like, oh. This right here, I need Samuel L. Jackson, and then I need Dave Chappelle playing Rick James, because nobody says MF like Samuel L. Jackson, and that's what this title is: BMF, Baddest Mother Blucker. Yeah. All right, and then I remember Dave Chappelle when he was playing when he was playing Rick James. I was like, I'm one of the baddest of all time.
Yeah, just bop. Yeah, that would have been perfect. Right?
Max Holloway just basically said, I'm the baddest mother of all time. I'm doing my own editing because, you put in a lot of work, Eddie Cool. I don't want you to have to go and be the beep, 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 beep. Morse Colton.
I'm just not one of those editors or those out of the podcast. I'm like, man, I got a editing job. Okay, so peep behind the curtain. On a good day, on an undistracted, well-rested day after recording an episode of the Sports Bowls podcast, after everything renders and is ready for editing, it probably takes me roughly between a good I can get it done in 45 minutes flat to an hour, because I have a mental note of, okay, I need to cut this here, cut that there, edit this, cut this out, and proper placement. And then that includes building the episode, typing the description, getting all the links and everything and put together like that. So it takes like a good about, you know, anywhere between 45 minutes to an hour. But man, if we was one of them beepity beepity beep 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 podcasts, I got to send it to somebody. How much is it going to cost you, man? Can we work out a payment plan? Because I just ain't got that kind of time. That kind of time. But luckily for us, we try to keep it clean and digestible for everyone, every place, everywhere, and try our best not to offend nobody. We may say some, funny things. We might say some questionable stuff, but just understand we're not here to be controversial and have wild hot takes. It's a sports podcast that you can listen to in front of everybody. We're not trying to be formulaic like those networks and everything, because it's boring. It's boring. You get tired of that mess, man. It's just, how many times we laugh, can't talk about the Lakers? How many times can you talk about the Cowboys? How many times can you talk about Caitlin Clark? Like, how many times? I mean, I get it. I get it. You know, they're interesting topics, and so people talk about interesting topics. But then after a while, after those interesting part kind of runs out, okay, we're just wash, rinse, and repeat, because it's been a slow news week, and we have nothing going on. And also, while we're looking at the whole UFC 300 card, Alex Pereira defeats Jamal Hall in the first round TKO, 3 minutes and 14 seconds. In the lightweight main event, in the co-main event, the women's strawweight, Weili Zhang defeats Yang Jianan. I hope I didn't butcher your name, but you know who I'm talking about. Yeah, Weili Zhang, she got a dub. And in the main event, of course, Max Holloway knocks out Justin Gaethje in the main event. We also can't forget Charles Oliveira. He loses in a decision to our man Sarkuyan. Hope I'm pronouncing these names right. And if not, I'm sorry. And then Bo Nickel in the middleweight fight gets a win over Cody Runnage. All right. So that being said, B-Live, that was a whole action-packed weekend of golf, hoops, and everything else. And looking at my phone, B-Live, because I have yet to get a watch, which I hope to purchase in the next few weeks, because I really need one. Guess what time it is?
You've been saying that for about a good 50 episodes about that watch. You ain't getting that watch.
Telling lies. this lying for no legitimate reason. I'm just okay.
Oh, reason.
I'm gonna have to get the watch in the drawer over and be like, see what time it is.
Well, one day I'm gonna get me one of them smart watches to track my steps and everything, get on my workout kick and everything. But yeah, yes. What time? I know what time it is, but you say it better than I do.
Oh, I'm glad you asked. It is time once again for our favorite portion of the show, the choices of the voices. And with that being said, hey, yo, button, hit it. Choice of the voices coming right after this, right here on the Sports Bros Podcast.
And now, our favorite part of the show, the choices of the voices.
Once again, thanks to the wonderful and so lovely Miss Button for introducing our favorite portion of the show, the choices of the voices. Well, we're going to run it two-man style today because Scotty D is under the weather once again. And shout out to the money man for sending us the question for next week's too. That way he's still involved. You know how we do it. We give y'all the question. You give us the answers. Sometimes you listen, sometimes you don't, but it makes for great and engaging content. With that being said, B-Live, what is the topic for this week's choices of the voices?
All right. We asked a very simple question, especially in lieu of the women's NCAA basketball tournament and the hype that came behind it. And we want to continue that hype because we want to show the women some love. And with that being said, we asked our listeners, the voices, we ask, tell us your all-time favorite female athlete and why. And we got some interesting answers, to say the least, showing the women some love. Eddie Cool, what say the people?
All right, Trey Dizzle says, I got nothing on this one. However, Dak Prescott sucks. The day, you know what, B Live, I'm waiting for the day where Dak Prescott wins them a Super Bowl, and then I would like to hear what Trey Dizzle has to say there.
He ain't gonna let's take about the SC8. And we're just gonna be sitting here. The question is, when will they pull the trigger and say the Dak Prescott experiment has ended? And I think it's sooner rather than later, and then Trey Dizzle is not going to have any material left.
Yeah, he's going to be assed out. He ain't going to have nothing. You assed out. He ain't going to have nothing. All right. Rambus Evans, he says, Mary Lou Retton. I had the biggest crush on her. He says, Mary Lou Retton. She was flipping and flying all over the place in the Olympics that very year.
Well, what's my wrestler's name? Sean Spears.
Yeah, Sean Spears. Yeah.
Perfect 10.
Yeah.
That's Mary Lou Retton was the original Perfect 10. So definitely inspired many of female gymnastics across the world. And a big shout out to Rambus. That was excellent. Excellent answer. And I mean, she's cute, you know, in standard definition.
Yeah. Back then, you know, you didn't have HD back then, you know, but you had, had to take the rabbit ears and move around. And you, was it you? And the thing about it was, you know, you couldn't turn back, but once you go past you, God, though, boy, I got to go this thing around again. Yep. And then you remember, once you get to you had channel 10 through 64. Oh boy,
kids just don't know. They don't know.
And then be like, we went from having no channels to I don't watch all this.
There's way too many channels, way too much going on. They know what they're doing. They're distracting us, but it's okay.
Hell, how many how many jury channels can you have, man? That's the question. Just JTV, Gym TV, Gold Chain, Turn Your Neck Green TV. But let me get back on track. That's a conversation for another day. All right, Matty Ice gives us a picture as well, too. He says, my all-time favorite female athlete is Cheryl Bernard from Team Canada, and she is in the sport of curling.
I remember we had a discussion about curling quite a few episodes back, and Matty Ice stays true to himself. He's always had a thing for Cheryl Bernard. And then he threw up another picture. I'm not even sure who. Yeah, she could be the same. Yep, looks like the same person. Yep. Just from a side angle, because he's a fool.
Yep. And then he gave us another one. He said, my new favorite women's sports watch. Be Live, is this pickleball or tennis?
That's the other. It looks like pickleball.
Looking at that racket. That's a pickleball racket. That's not no standard issue tennis racket. Yeah. He likes to watch pickleball, and that's Claudia Jansen. Okay. Moving right along. Oh, I like this one. Our Hall of Famer Uncle Max. He says WWE Hall of Famer Lita. Lita was one of the girls that would get in the ring and mix up with the boys, and she was one of the first women to start jumping off of ladders and stuff as well, too.
And then the risque. With the rated R superstar.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to say Edge anymore, or is it Adam Copeland?
We're gonna cover both ends. Adam Edge Copeland. All right. You know, you got a middle name, son. Yeah, you got a middle name. Yeah. So
man. Yep. Good answer though, Matt. Uncle Max. Good answer. I like that one. It's true. Because we're all three of us on the show, we are definitely diehard wrestling fans. And I'm gonna keep it PG. All right, cool. Got to,
and we're gonna leave it as that, because sometimes this new version of The Rock, the final boss, he ain't keeping it PG whatsoever
at all.
He's like, I'm the boss, go smoke some crack. Man, come on, man, you can't be saying that on TV nowadays. I guess when you're boss, you do what the hell you want to do, I guess.
They do something, yeah.
Yeah, moving right along, we got Trina Dunn. She says Simone Biles. That's a great choice, too, man. Phenomenal gymnast.
And it's one of those things with Mary Lou Retton and now Simone Biles. That is one thing about women's gymnastics that unifies the entire nation. Like, how could you not root for Simone Biles. Like, and what she's done in gymnastics is second to none. And so Trina, I definitely much respect. Outstanding, outstanding answer when it comes to Simone Biles. A little teeny little something, you know, just they're flipping and dipping and doing what you do. Yes, sir.
Yeah, man, she gets it done, man. For a girl her size, she really gets it done. Hot Rod, Rodney Bellamy, he says, Alex Morgan, she's so dang cute. She makes watching soccer almost tolerable.
Come on, man. I understand it. And I ain't even gonna lie, Alex Morgan, she cute. But hey, she can put the bend on the ball. She's a very, very good soccer player, and much respect to the women's soccer team. I know we got a lot of this. Side note, there's a lot of soccer going on, by the way, with women and the men. We got the Olympics coming up. We've got, this will actually be my first live soccer match that I'm going to in August. So I'm excited for that. I'm going to wear some orange because I'll be in Cootlumbia, but I digress. Yeah, but yeah, I'm going to walk right in there and be just disrespectful for absolutely every reason that is near and dear to me. Bleed orange all day, every day. It is Liverpool versus Man U, but it's still Clemson versus South Carolina to me. I say what I say. Oh, I got my Liverpool shirt on right now. Liverpool Football Club. You'll never walk alone. Yes, sir.
B-Live, I hope you bump into some grandmas at William Rice Stadium that give you some cookies like the ones in Pittsburgh did. I hope you bump into some nice grandmas. B-Live, go back to South Carolina. That was a fun trip, man. We definitely got to do that again. All right. Oh, man. You was funny. B-Live, go back to South Carolina. You're a beep head.
God, oh my, I caught so much hell. That weekend, it was fun though. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. Except for little punk ass little kids. I wonder. No, my bad. I'm sorry. I said that out loud.
It was well worth the drive, man. I swear. Yeah. Oh my God. Man. All right, here we go. We got MJ Markley. Don't call me malarkey. He says, love Ronda Rousey, a beautiful badass. Yes, a woman that can punch you in the mouth and put you in an arm bar. I would not want to mess with her. No way, no how.
Oh man, Ronda Rousey is ruffling some feathers right now. Who's my one dude that basically just got written off of WWE because of allegations? And
Drew Gulak. That's
what they said, all right, you're done. Because I think what it was, he pulled her
the drawstring on her shorts.
Oh boy.
And she said, look, okay. Keep thinking fat meat ain't greasy and boo boo don't stain. Watch this,
now, oh boy.
And she showed him. Yeah. She told him what time it was. I mean, like in today's society, man, you gotta be careful how you do ribs and jokes because back then there's a lot of mess you get away with. Now with this Me Too move and everything else, you can't do it. Them good old boy. Hey, in the words of the song, don't give me no lies and keep your hands to yourself. Strong emphasis on the keep your hands to yourself. What's wrong with you, man? It ain't yours. Don't touch it. She got a husband and a kid. What's wrong with you? Like, come on, man. Everybody, you know, you can't rib and joke with everybody like that. Cause it ain't the old days no more. That it ain't. All right, with that being said, shout out to Matty Ice, Trey Dizzle, Rambis Evans, our Hall of Famer Uncle Max, Trina Dunn, Rodney Bellamy, and MJ Markley for their participation in this week's Choices of the Voices. Be Live, phenomenal female or women's athlete. Who you got?
Well, I am the type of person, I look at the overall body of work, and I ain't even gonna lie to you. Also, when they're fair on the eyes, I'm not even gonna lie. It's our nature as men and women, et cetera, et cetera. But I gotta say this, I'm gonna say it loud, I'm gonna say it proud. Miss Parker, Candace Parker, I have always her skill on the basketball court when she played in Tennessee, her illustrious career in the WNBA, USA Basketball, and now as a commentator with TNT. She has done it all, and man, whoo! Talk about crushes, talk about just, oh, all right, it got a little hot in here. I apologize. I know Scotty D said that no locker room material, da da da. But no, Candace Parker's just always been her skill set, the way she plays the game. It has been quite the pleasure to watch her play, even and then on commentary. I'm going to say this as well. Shaquille O'Neal, y'all ain't had to do her. Y'all ain't had to do it like that. There's a clip of when she was wearing a pantsuit and had flowers all over it, and they pulled no punches. They were talking about tulips and dandelions. They had jokes for days about her outfit. I'm like, what y'all not gonna do? Y'all not gonna disrespect my queen like that?
What's wrong with y'all?
Candace Parker is my all-time favorite female athlete. Jackie Joyner-Kersee is an honorable mention. Sha'Carri Richardson, the track athletes out there. What's my other homegirl name? I can't even remember her name.
Marion Jones.
It starts with an F. Old school.
FloJo.
FloJo. Yes. This fat. And because FloJo definitely did multiple events, everything just was one of a kind with what she did. And I give a quick shout out to the ladies on the track. So definitely, but yeah, there's nobody topping Candace Parker in my book. Yeah, they're.
All right, B-Law, you said there's nobody topping Candace Parker in your books, but, you know, all our books are subjective. And it's in the word of Stephen A. Smith, it's fluid.
Fluid.
It can be fluid. I'm like, cue the water, Stephen A. I use that at work when I do my spiel, my cheesecakes. And just to let you know, my cheesecake list, top five, it varies from time to time, and it's always fluid. They look at me like, what are you doing? I got your ass now. All right. I got that ass now. All right, so Serena Jamaica Williams.
Good one.
Yeah, Serena Jamaica Williams. One of the biggest things that she, you know, she's done a lot, but she is the only player to accomplish a career golden slam. All right? A career golden slam, which means she's won it all. If it's there for her to win, she done it. Now, the term Golden Slam, I'm looking now, initially the Golden Grand Slam, refers to achievements of winning all four majors and the Olympic, Paralympic, or Youth Olympics gold medal in a calendar year. So think about it. She won like all that in the calendar year, and she's the only player to do it. So she's a pretty big deal. I mean, she's 800, her singles record, she's 858 and 156, an 84.6% winning percentage. She got 73 career titles. She was the number one player in the world back in 2002, and she's won the Australian Open, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times, the French Open 3 times, Wimbledon 7 times, and the U.S. Open 6, not to mention that Grand Slam Cup in 99. The tour finals, she won that another 5 times, and Olympic gold medal in 2012. The girl's bad. She's a hellfire athlete, man. To do everything that she's done in the period of time that she's done it, like she had like a 20-year reign of like it's Serena and then everybody else.
Right.
The Sharapovas have come and went. Like there's a lot of women that came and went during this period of time. And so for her to be as dominant as she is, like, I'm looking at her Olympic gold medal counts right now. She won 3 doubles gold medals, 2012 in London, 2000 in Sydney, 2008 in Beijing, and then won that singles one in London in 2012. Serena Williams is just one of the best to ever do it. I can't say enough, but she's one of the best to ever do it. With that being said, Be Live, what's on tap for next week?
Well, we're going to get into it because it is April. And for those that may or may not know, we're a couple weeks away from the NFL draft. And there are decisions to be made. Some people want to say that decisions already wrote out themselves. The Chicago Bears traded away Justin Fields, so you know they're going to be looking for a quarterback. The question is, if you are the GM of the Bears, what would you do with the top overall pick?
I trade
that. That used to belong to the Carolina Panthers, and
tightest over. Well, we just feel the need. We gonna give away you. We gonna give you 2 years worth of first round draft picks. Boy, it just
and pick Bryce Young instead of CP. And then, Bryce Young, I believe in you because you're my quarterback. I ain't got no choice but to.
Oh yeah, bro. We kind of stuck with this one. But I hope it's a good kind of stuff, because we've been Jimmy Clausens, the Brian St. Pierre's, the Chris Winkies, just Matt Corral could have been good, but we didn't want to give him time. And anyways, be live. Yeah. So that's the question next week. What in the hell are the Chicago Bears? What would you do, ladies and gentlemen, if you were the Chicago Bears? You saw they already got rid of damn Justin Fields. So that can only mean one thing. And we shall see come draft day. Come on, Max. Be live. Grab that pepper grind. It's time for another round of pepper. Coming at you right here on the Sports Bros Podcast.
Okay, boys, let's bring it home with a round of pepper.
All right, you heard the woman. It's time for us to go home and get what I call the hell up out of here. But first, a round of pepper. You know how we do it. Three topics, rapid fire style, kind of, sort of, not really, here to engage, enlighten, educate, and entertain. The four E's in no particular order. With that being said, I'll go first. On this day in history, back in 1935, 40-year-old future Baseball Hall of Famer Babe Ruth debuts in the National League with a home run and a single. And the Boston Braves 4-2 win over the New York Giants in Boston. Oh, that is right. Babe Ruth did have a little taste of the senior circuit at 40 years old. Babe Ruth, he didn't look like he could do it, but he's one of the best to ever do it. Over to you, B-Live.
All right. My first pepper point is intriguing. We talked a little bit about the women and who we like and love and athletes, et cetera, et cetera. This could be a major step when it comes to women and empowerment and everything like that. The Charlotte Hornets. Oh, that's my NBA team. I'm sick of them. I'm not going to defer away from them because it's been rough.
Very.
But they're going to try something different because they've been granted permission to interview Lindsey Harding, the coach of the G League Stockton Kings, to figure out their new head coach. If they hire Lindsey Harding, she'll be the first woman to be named a head coach of an NBA team. That is going to be interesting, to say the least. I wish all the good things for my Charlotte Hornets, and hopefully that this will turn into wins. Please, I need a few wins. Please, pretty please. We'll see how it works. Lindsey Harding, maybe the first ever woman's head coach in the NBA. Eddie Coop, the ball.
Yep, I mean, Be like our teams, they got to do something. They have got to do something. Speaking of teams and players is doing something, the player officially known as Milk Chamberlain and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Mr. Robbie Avila, formerly of the Indiana State Sycamores, has entered the transfer portal. Now, according to an article that I read, him and a several amount of players, they might be going to St. Louis, to the Billikens. This guy is good, man. At 16 and 240 pounds, he averages 17.4 points per game, 6.6 rebounds, and 4.1 assists for the Sycamores. I had a chance to see him, B-Live, play a few weeks ago in the NIT tournament, and I was like, why? And I think they won like 32 games and didn't make the doggone tournament. I was like, how, man? Like that team, Indiana State is nice. The Sycamores are nice. Representing the Missouri Valley Conference. So yeah, it says, you know, they give him Kareem Abdul-Jabbar due to glasses and everything. But hopefully a talented player such as Robbie Avila finds a home with a nice, nice team and a nice powerhouse. I mean, you might want to go to Arkansas. If you heard from what I heard, be live. Hopefully I'm not stepping on no toes about Coach Cal and trying to, where's everybody at? But yeah, that story to be continued. So shout out to Milt Chamberlain, Robbie Avila. Hopefully you find a home and the team will get a good character guy and a good quality player. Over to you, be live.
Well, my second pepper point, this is a perfect segue. You're not stepping on any toes.
Okay.
Because it flows right into it, because John Calipari took the job at Arkansas, 5-year contract, and it's going to try his best to revitalize that program, because when he showed up to Arkansas, they had a whopping one player on the roster. Mm-mm. Transfer portal is something else. Everybody hauled tail, and they have one person on the roster. So, Calipari, you might have to embrace the transfer portal. He's been reluctant to do so before. He wanted to do more recruiting, but yeah, one person on the roster. You got some work to do. Eddie Cool, the ball.
Yeah, you absolutely have some work to do. Before we get up out of here and final pepper point, be like, once again, I hope that we're not stepping on toes. Recently, Orenthal James Simpson, also known as OJ Simpson, passed away this week at the age of 76. OJ Simpson is a very polarizing figure. All depends on who you talk to. We already know before, we're not even going to talk about it, but if, like the kids say, if you know, you know. I will say this. I saw a tweet that was quite disturbing made by one Caitlyn Jenner that said, good riddance. I don't think that there's any way that we should be celebrating death, no matter how bad no matter how indifferent we feel about a person. Sometimes it's best not to get on social media and not say everything that comes to mind. But OJ Simpson, thank you what you've done for the game of football. And also here, crossover appeals in Hertz commercials, playing Detective Lundberg in the Naked Gun series of movies and various other things, and even being a sideline reporter. So rest in peace to an NFL legend, OJ Simpson, the Juice. Over to you, be live.
Absolutely, and much respect. I mean, at the end of the day, I want people to see what he did on the field. All that other extra stuff, because we're a sports podcast.
Right.
All that extra stuff, all the politics came behind it. Yes, there was a lot of things. He changed the scope of what national coverage of news and TV and court and all the things, and it changed everything. But OJ Simpson, when he ran that ball on the field, 14 games, 2,000 yards, yeah, that he was the Juice.
Yeah.
With that being said, my third and final pepper point, I'm actually going to give a shout out to my man, Scotty D, because this would be a pepper point that he would say, and at least piece of it. I still got my own piece that I'm going to say myself. But quick shout out and congratulations to Pittsburgh Pirates' very own Andrew McCutchen for reaching 300 home runs. Out of his illustrious career. The Pirate fans have something to cheer about. It's real life.
Yeah.
I mean, just real quick, if I can just pull up the standings, they're tied with the Brewers right now for the best record in the National League. And overall, the best record in all of baseball belongs to the Yankees, which I'm not going to acknowledge Scotty D for that one. But on my side of things, Oh, it hurts, but we're going to figure it out. Spencer Strider has been put on the DL.
Common job.
God, I was like, all right, well, that's going to hurt. But my Braves find a way to win. The big bear, Marcelo Zuna. Two strikes, two outs. It don't matter. Boom! Three-run home run to take down the Miami Marlins. Braves, let's go. Chop on 48 and all the things. Atlanta Braves, I'm always going to root for you. And we'll figure it out and get that farm, get that unknown pitcher that ain't nobody heard about, and let them come in and do some work as the Braves have been doing for years upon years. Yes, sir. Oh, that's episode 246 in the books.
In the books, over and done with. Once again, get well soon, Money Man Scotty D. Can't wait to see you next week, man. Take care of yourself. The hardest working man at the Waynesburg University. That man trying hard to graduate Scotty cum laude. He ain't playing around. It just seems like yesterday he was starting class, but now our very own Scotty D is about to march that stage, all right? That being said, it's been another episode of the Sports Bros Podcast. And in closing, do something nice for yourself. And if you can, do something nice for someone else. They're greatly appreciated now, more than ever. Whatever you do, please be a blessing and not a burden. And sometimes don't think everything you say, because sometimes people just don't give a damn, all right? It's been another episode of the Sports Bros Podcast. Be live. Take us home.
Yes, sir.
Hope y'all paid y'all taxes or filed y'all extensions, because this here tax system, I'm telling you, boy, it's something else. Y'all take care. See you next week. Sports Bros Podcast.
Hey, it's Eddie Cool here from the Sports Bros Podcast. Thank you for listening. And as always, continue to follow us on all of our social media platforms. Just click the link in the description box and keep up with the Sports Bros Podcast. And once again, thanks for listening.